Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us tonight for this wonderful topic. As we have talked about before, the church not really dealing with real issues, and so now we have a sick body. If you would just bear with me momentarily as we are going to play some music for you, and hopefully everything will be in order when this music is over. Blessings. Thank you for joining us. Stay right where you are. Gentlemen, thank you so much for staying right where you are and for being patient. I'm grateful for Bishop Larry Harris being with us tonight to discuss such a wonderful topic. And we want to get right into it as it's so much to talk about and so little time to do it in. Bishop Harris, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing great, sir. Can't complain. God is so awesome and so powerful. All thing I can do is just say God is just doing some great things in my life and a lot of people's lives.
Amen. Amen. And I am grateful that you have taken the time to come and be a part of this show today. As the title of the show is, the church does not talk about real issues, and so we now have a sick body. When you hear that, Bishop, what comes to mind in this church body that we dwell in today?
Well, what's coming to mind, sir, is that what the government is doing and what the people in charge of the government are allowing to happen around the world that, of course, is not in the Bible and not God's will, and telling people it's okay for them to do what they told them to do. Now, if that had been true, then God would have never destroyed the earth in the beginning and had the man of God have the husbands and three sons, and then the wife and three sisters to be with four men and four women. So God said to the Bible, let every man have his own wife and every wife her own husband, not every man his own man and every woman her own woman. So we're getting in a situation that's going to be very, very dangerous because when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, the United States had actually went through the same exact thing that Sodom and Gomorrah went through. That's what we're going through now.
Right, right. And just to clarify, was Sodom and Gomorrah something that was done away with because of just homosexuality, just lesbianism? Was it just that, or was it several other things or several things mixed in with that?
Well, what I saw, one of the main things that I saw that is when the two angels showed up at Lot's house, they said that every man, small and great, and they were talking about rich and poor, all over the city had surrounded that house. And then when Lot came out and told them, you know, you can't, please don't mess with these men, you can have my two virgin daughters, they didn't even want the daughters and told Lot, if you don't give us those two men that came in, we're going to take you. And, of course, the angels reached out and grabbed Lot and put them back in the house and caused the men to become blind so they couldn't do what they wanted to do. But why would they want, even though a whole bunch of them was married, that means they was on the down low, why would they want those men that was angels and didn't know they was angels, and even if they had, they still probably wanted them without even realizing it. And so basically that had to be the spirit of homosexuality in that city when God said, if I can find 10 men that are righteous, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But of course, he only was righteous. And of course, they grabbed Lot, pulled him out of the city, and God said, I cannot destroy the city until Lot is gone.
Right.
Sir.
So what does, at this point, you know, what part does the church play in this? This thing is real, because I think that we're not dealing with the real root cause of a lot of different things. And so deliverance is not really taking place for real. As we know, myself, I've talked about it several times, being delivered from homosexuality, it comes with lying, it comes with being conniving, it comes with stealing, it comes with several other things attached to it. So how do we now, as the church, how do we deal with the issues and the different things that are taking place now so that the body of Christ can be the body that it needs to be?
Well, the way we got to deal with it is we got to go into scriptures. And when we go into scriptures, God is telling the men not to be with men and the women not to be with women. And he's saying even if a man was to put on what a clothing that a woman wears, and if a woman wears the clothes that a man wears, it's an abomination. So, you know, the body understand, and the church has got to understand, because the reason some of them are not preaching against it is because some of them feel like they don't really have the true power of who God is inside them. First of all, the Bible said faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How can I hear except they have a preacher? And how can he preach except to be sent? So you got a lot of false prophets out there that are not from God, that are doing crazy things. And they're saying, if you don't love these people that are doing that stuff, and they saying the love is letting them do what they want to do, which is a lie straight from the pit of hell. We can love everybody.
But love is the truth. Love is the truth.
That's
so
right.
It's not that I don't love you, but I have to tell you the truth. If I don't tell you the truth, then I really don't love you for real. So, you know, the church has got to deal with, or we've got to diagnose these issues in the house of God, and we've got to deal with them on a scriptural basis. My thing tonight is not just homosexuality, not just lesbianism, but lying, stealing, all of the different things that are going on right now.
That's very true, sir.
pastors and leaders that are falling by the wayside, sleeping with people that are supposed to be sheep in the body of Christ. Pastors are now using authority to do all types of things that are not of God. Why are we seeing this stuff, and why are we misdiagnosing this stuff? Why are we not talking about it? Why are we not saying anything about it? These are the issues that I'm seeing happening in the body of Christ, and nobody's really dealing with them. And so how do we deal with this stuff so that we have a body that's healthy?
I don't hear him no more.
Bishop.
You still hear us? Oh, yeah. Okay, listen. The reason we're seeing this around the United States, sir, is one of the reasons that some people don't want to preach against the sin that people are committing. Because the Bible says
okay.
and guilty of all. Because they want to keep
right.
making a lot of money. And see, they're not like who Jesus was, because Jesus would roll up on the Pharisees and Sadducees and call them serpents, vipers, and all kind of things. And even when he went inside the church and they were selling things that they weren't supposed to sell inside God's house and doing things they ought not to be doing and turned the house into a den of thieves instead of the house of prayer, Jesus grabbed the whip and he was in God's will like the angels were when they kicked Satan out of heaven and whipped those people out of the sanctuary. So one of the main problems we have is that a whole lot of people out there that call themselves apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, but they don't preach against sin, that means they are out of the will of God, and they have not been sent by God to deliver people. Because when you look at the scriptures, it tells you, if you see a wicked man in his wicked ways, and you give him not warning, and, you know, he dies in his wickedness, God said, I lay his blood upon your hand, and you lose your soul. He said, if you see a righteous man about ready to do some wicked things, and you don't give him warning, and I lay a stumbling block before him and kill him, and he dies, his blood is upon your hand, and you lose your soul. He said, but if you give both of them warning, then you just saved your soul. So I think a lot of people that are preaching have not been taught the right way and have not been released by real prophets with the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the pure anointing of who God is. And God is telling us that if we sin in one area, we're guilty of all. So if I don't preach against sin and you don't preach against sin, then what are the people going to know that they're not doing right? They got to know that they can't fornicate. That means have sex before marriage. They got to know they can't lie, cheat, steal. And God talks about in Galatians chapter 5, you know, if we are doing, we're fornicating, we commit adultery. If we have witchcraft in our spirit, you know, doing all these different things. And even
right.
eating too much, it can cause all of us to go to hell. So that's what the problem
right.
is, sir, around the world. A whole lot of people are just after money. They're not in God's will, and they're not doing what God told them to do, and they have not been told by the real prophets of God. They've just been released because they could preach extremely well. But it's like the Apostle Paul said, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So if they're not preaching
yeah.
about the power of what God did, the power of what Jesus did and the men of God did, then they are out of the will of God because they're just talking to make people feel good and make them think they're okay with money, with wealth, with prosperity. Which is not God said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness, and all these other things should be added unto you. For, you
right.
know, pretty hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that's what's going on with a lot of people around the world. They're becoming rich, but they're not in God's will. And then they're going to cause a lot of people that's in their churches to go to hell.
Wow. So now, as a man of God, like yourself, who is pastoring a people, and you're trying to do the will of God as he has commanded you to do. And a lot of times we don't have the support that other churches have. How do you continue to be the real man of God, not falling off course, not falling off track, but you continue to be that real man of God that's teaching the proper things of God so that the body is not a sick, fallen church? How do you do that?
Well, one of the reasons I can do that is because the man of God that laid hands on me and prayed for me and told me that I would become a mighty ambassador of God. He was preaching against so much sin that I was in the Army for 20 years, active duty. I saw body severed in two and in Saudi Arabia. I saw him burned to crisp. And I'm in his church. And he's preaching against the liquor I was drinking before I really got saved. And he's preaching
mm-hmm.
against me cursing. to fighting. Now, this is pretty much all I was really doing in the Army, fighting. If somebody started a fight, I would finish, cursing, drink liquor. But I started praying to God. I said, God, if you don't deliver me from drinking this liquor, from cursing, from fighting, I'm going to lose my soul and I'm going to go to hell. And I can remember many months going by, and I still had not got delivered from liquor, but my wife thought I had because I was hiding the liquor in the house, and she didn't never see it. And she would be at work because she was a manager at the mall. And I'd be at the house on Saturdays drinking all day. And, of course, before she got home, I'd be done brushing my teeth, Listerine, Scope, all kind of stuff. So she never smelled anything I was doing. But I can remember waking up one morning after he had been preaching for over some months. And when I woke up that morning, all the liquor I had in that house, every bottle I had, about 6 or 7 bottles, I put them all down the sink, and they was pretty much almost full. And God delivered me from liquor, so no matter who I went around that was drinking in the Army and who I went around that was doing anything, cursing and things of that nature, God totally delivered me from all that stuff. And the only thing I can say is that it was because he wasn't just preaching against the liquor and the drugs and the fighting and the cursing. He was preaching against every sin that was out there. So that is the reason, with him preaching against every sin, it caused me to preach against every sin. So my wife every sin that's out there. And we even got the leaders in the church preaching against sin, but then again we had to correct some of the leaders because we could see some of the things they did wrong and told them, how are you preaching against sin to all these the body of Christ? But you're not doing what you're supposed to do. As Jesus told Peter, he was Satan.
Wow. Wow. And so now we're in a time where we've got to all deal with real diagnosis. So, which leads me to talk about this, you know, real thing or real stuff that's happening in the church right now.
Yes,
I believe that God is a God that's able to heal, set free, and deliver. But in order for that to take place, we have to be real about the situation, and we can't call it one thing when it's really another. For instance,
very true.
I was in a service, and there was a young man who we all knew that it was AIDS that he was dealing with, but the pastor called it cancer. And in that service, the pastor calling it cancer, and I believe that at that time, I believe God would have healed this young man, but because the pastor called it cancer, it was not healed, and this young man later on ended up passing away. How do you deal with situations like that when it is AIDS or when it is these type things, and, you know, some people are embarrassed by the fact that that's what it is? How do you deal with that? Because I believe that we have to call it what it is. You got to diagnose it right in order for the truth has to be there in order for it to be set free, in order for it to be delivered. How do we deal with that, man of God?
Well, this is what I've done with people that came up to me and they was whispering in my ear telling me they had HIV, they had AIDS. I would just, the way I would pray over it in front of everybody is I would lay hands on them and say, God, in the name of Jesus, I know that you're well able to heal them. I know that you're well able to deliver them. I thank you that they told me what was wrong with them, but they didn't tell everybody else because basically the bottom line up front is that, and I told about Christ, this could be marriage, it could be anything. So sometimes everybody don't want you to know what they're going through, but I said, God, help me. And then when I went back to the doctors, to be straight up honest with you, the AIDS was gone. The cancer was gone or whatever it may have been. But let me share this with you. This is another reason the body of Christ in the churches is not where they need to be. First of all, I told all my leaders, I said, why are you upset because somebody talked about you? When they talked about Jesus, they talked about Paul, and they talked about Silas. I said, have you ever been pushed across your back? Has rocks been thrown at you? Have they gnashed upon you with the teeth? Have they bitten you? Then how come the men of God like Stephen could see a vision when all this stuff is happening to him? And you can't see a vision when people are talking about you. All you're doing is getting angry and getting upset. And I told them the greatest commandment of all is to love your neighbor with all your, I mean to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, all your energy, all your body. The second greatest is love your neighbor like you love yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I said, even if you don't stop drinking liquor, smoking dope, going to clubs, partying, and all this stuff, if you don't have that love that God told you to have for the body of Christ, for the church in you, then you're still going to lose your soul because you're not forgiving the people for the evil that they're giving doing wrong to you, and you're not blessing those that curse you and being good to those that spitefully use you and abuse you.
Yeah.
So love is greater than the miracles, than faith.
Yeah.
Love is also greater than hope. So when I began to say that, I saw more love going through my church because there were some people that was, two girls might have been going to the mall shopping and they got mad, they stopped. Then all of a sudden they got back together and started back going after I began to deal with that issue. So this is one of the main problems we have in the church. Some of the pastors become so upset with the people and they don't love them. Some of the apostles become so upset, they just want to quit ministry. They have thousands of people in the church that want to quit. I'm like, wow, how you going to have 3,000 people in your church and want to just walk away from that? That means you don't have no love. So basically, if they get love, the love that God said they're supposed to have, like Jesus had when he's on the cross, Father, forgive them for they know not what to do, like Stephen had when they were throwing stones at him, rocks at him, Father, leave not the sin of the charge. They were showing so much love that nothing could actually stop them from making it to heaven.
Right.
And, sir, I'm going to share this with you. Okay, I told him, how come you mad and you can't prophesy to nobody or upset because somebody's talking about you? But Jesus is on the cross, and he prophesies to the guy that's next to him. And tell him from this day forward, you'll be with me in paradise. So how many people around the world don't have the same type spirit that Jesus has, the mind of Christ, which we're supposed to have?
That's right.
The mind of Christ.
That's right. And we have to have, and the only way we can get the mind of Christ is by studying the Word of God, staying in the Word of God, staying on our faces in prayer, because people are going to talk about you. People are going to use you. People are going to abuse you. All of these different things are going to happen. And the thing that I thought about while you were speaking was that as much as they did to Jesus, he never, ever had a hate type of a spirit or never wanted to get a revenge type of a thing going. He always wanted to show the love. And this is what the church is missing. Pastor, talk to me, because here I am as a young man. I went into the church with an issue, and I got healed of that issue because of the love. How do you, as a leader, you know, what situation have you ever had to love somebody right out of? You know, because homosexuality, lesbianism, all of these different things are strongholds. So how do you, while teaching me, while preaching to me, and I'm still going doing my thing because I don't yet know how to sustain myself, how do you still love me and continue to deal with me, you know, even while I'm in that sick space?
Well, I'm going to be straight up honest with you. I deal with people in a very, very powerful way. The men, I deal with them in a very powerful way, and I let them know that, listen, first of all, you got to understand that what the devil did, if he raped you as a child, understand that your mother didn't stop it, your father wasn't around. You know, something could have happened. They might have been on drugs. Anything could have happened, and then you had that spirit on you. I said, but, man, you got to understand what I'm about to tell you. When you start dealing with human waste, you know, that smells complete funky when we pass gas and when we go to the bathroom, and then understand that you can't wipe it all out when you use the bathroom, going up in there where it still is and has not come down. I said it causes HIV. And AIDS to go across the nations and across the United States. And basically, you know, the woman's private part, that's where the baby comes out of, and not the man. So when I began to deal with them like that, I delivered a lot of people, and they got set free, and they never wanted to do that stuff again. Of course, there's going to be some that did what they did with Jesus. They walked out, got upset, they got mad. But at least their blood is not on my hand when I preach it. Because if I don't minister against everything that they're doing wrong, then I lose my soul and I go to hell. Okay. Now, the other thing I will share with you is that I have miracles by God's grace. You know, blind eyes come open, deaf ears, people coming out of wheelchairs. But I done told the bishops and apostles around the world and pastors, I don't feel like I'm nothing because the men of God that wrote the Bible thousands of years ago, they never had an iPhone, they never had an Apple computer, a Galaxy, a notepad. Then, you know, it had to be God inside them that wrote that Bible because the Bible was written by man, inspired by God. How come you had to go on the internet and try to figure out what they wrote? Okay. So the point that I'm making to a lot of people is that I'm very humble because the things that they wrote in the Bible, I've seen some visions, I had some dreams, but I've never seen my white robes. I have never seen the 24 elders on the throne. I have never seen when they saw an Old Testament preaching and New Testament preaching, God on the throne and Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. But they saw that in visions. So I'm telling God, God, please take me to another level, not just to heal some sick people, but that I can see visions of you before I get to heaven, and also visions of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing. And I'm just being grateful and so thankful that God didn't let me die when I was drinking liquor. Before I went in the Army, he didn't let me die when I was smoking weed and dope. He didn't let me die when I was in fights and guns was pulled on me because they couldn't beat me in basketball. He didn't let me die with the knives pulled on me. Three guns was pulled on me before I went in the Army and different knives. And God protected me from all those guns and never got shot. So I'm just, and he didn't let me die in the military because the soldiers that came back in the same area I was in had ingested some chemical warfare, and they didn't know what was wrong with them. They're 25 years old, and they died. And I'm still living, and that was years ago from Desert Chill, Desert Storm.
Amen.
Yes, sir. So God is just awesome, sir. And he's
powerful. Amen. He is.
And I give him all praise and glory.
Amen.
And I wish
and
I could find some. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. I wish I could find some men like Peter, like Paul, like Samuel, like Moses. I'm just seeing how powerful these men were that was writing the Bible and seeing the visions that they saw and the dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. And I know I'm going to see some of those men in the earth realm today, but it won't be the ones that are not preaching against the sin, sir, trust me.
Right. Right. And we have to talk about it. And today, the thing that bothers me is that what we don't deal with in the church, it then, it's killing people. It's killing souls. We're losing souls daily because we're not really dealing with real issues, real things that are happening in the body of Christ. And so I encourage every leader tonight, every person that's listening, you've got to deal with your issues, even if there are personal issues with young people and that are listening to this show tonight. You got to deal with your issues, because if you don't deal with them, they will deal with you. And yes, some of us are dealing with issues that really don't belong to us. It's a family, generational type of a thing that has taken place that we were not even there for the beginning of. But that doesn't change the fact that it's there, and you have to deal with it. Man of God, how do we deal with generational curses? How do we deal with that? How do we break that?
Well, the way we break generational curses, first of all, we pray against all the generational curses that are out there. Because God said, I'll bless you through three or four generations, or I curse you through three or four generations. So once we get saved, we repent, feel God is sorry, turn from our wicked ways, seek his face. He said he begins to start to heal our land. So even if our parents are not saved, when we get saved, once we have our children and train them up in the way they should go, that when they get old, they should not depart, then all of a sudden they get saved, then another generation gets saved, and it could be a fourth generation that gets saved. So that is all by studying to show thyself self-approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth, which should be happening in every church, but that's not what's going on. Also, that should be prayer without ceasing. That word prayer without ceasing, my pastor's never told this to me, but God told me what prayer without ceasing meant. I'm saying, okay, I'm talking to someone about God. Is that prayer? And God began to say, yes, it is. He said, when you speak the prophetic word of God, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So every time that we speak as the oracles of God, whether it's in our secret closet, whether it's while we're driving down the highway, whether it's while we're preaching, for this while we're teaching, still, that is still a prayer without ceasing. And I didn't know that till years later after I began to be a pastor. So if any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God, not the tabloids of Satan. So we got to pray without ceasing. One of the greatest things with the prayer, he says, if you fast and pray, we can say to the mountain, be thou removed from here to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing should be impossible to those that fast and pray. So basically, we got to fast and pray also. That means push the food away. That means do like what Jesus is saying, to go and try to fast for 40 days when we've not been trained to fast for like 6 days, 7 days, 10 days, 20 days.
Right.
Moses fasted for 40 days. Jesus fasted for 40 days, and Elijah. And then it rained for 40 days. So we got to understand there's some, and then Jesus will send a man for 40 days. There's something very powerful about the number 40.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to fast for 40 days, or if we were to fast not even 40 days, but if we were to go without doing the sin that we had committed for 40 days, at that moment we would be free from the generational curses. And it would be easy for us not to never go back to that sin if we stopped doing it for 40 days.
Yes, sir. And this is what people don't understand about fasting, is that fasting breaks habit. Fasting breaks the habit of doing a particular thing. When you fast from it, you start to teach your flesh, you teach yourself that I don't have to have this. Am I right, preacher?
You are so right, and it's good. It's blowing my mind. I'm glad that I'm talking to you. I'm glad this is your radio broadcast, and I'm glad that you're on the air talking about the different things that need to be talked about. Because you're right, fasting, the Bible says fast.
Oh, but they talked a lot. Yeah, she took my dressing last year.
We're going to take a break right here.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
I don't know what. We're going to take a break here and definitely get some music out. And we're going to try to get back to the bishop in just a little bit. Those of you that have joined us tonight, thank you so much for joining us. Stay right where you are.
Somebody
thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. As we've talked about, the church does not talk about real issues, and so we now have a sick body. Bishop had to leave us, and so our show will end early tonight. But as we prepare to get off the air, I want to say to every one of you that have joined us tonight, make sure that you, as a believer, deal with whatever issues are happening in your life or have taken place in your life. Be sure and deal with those issues, because if you do not, issues will make you sick. We want to pray tonight prior to ending. Before we do that, we want to give you information letting you know that we will be at Al Astorbach starting next Thursday. I believe that date is the 23rd. We will be in Holy Convocation next Thursday. And so if you would like to join us, you may do so at 1072 Sawyer Street. That is Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Again, that is 1072 Sawyer Street. And the zip code there is 32534 is where you can join us, as well as if you would like to donate or give. If this broadcast has blessed you and you would like to be a part of keeping it alive, keeping it on the air, you can do that at alabasterboxcm.org. Again, it is alabasterboxcm.org. Regarding convocation, and I know I'm bouncing back and forth, on Friday I'm excited as we will be having our ordination services for ministerial staff that are part of Alabasterbox. Big shout out to them for making it through. It's been 4 years, and this is the first big ordination that we're having, and I am most excited about that. As well as on Saturday, my affirmation service will take place at Apostle Elias Allen, as well as Apostle Deborah L. Bean, and Apostle James will be there at convocation carrying us through affirmation. I am most excited about what God is doing at this time of elevation. So we would definitely love for you all to be there on Saturday at 3 o'clock p.m. And on Friday, it's 7 o'clock nightly. So definitely join us for these services. I know that you will be blessed. Again, if you need any other additional information, you can reach us on Facebook in our inbox at Apostle Desmond Darian House, or you can reach me personally at my cell is 850-619-8341. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Father God, as we prepare to get off this air tonight, God, we ask you to bless, we ask you to keep and to cover every individual that have joined us tonight. God, we thank you tonight for your will. We thank you for your way. And God, we ask you to help us to deal with our issues. Help us to deal with the things that have taken place in our life in the past, God, that we would not be a sick body, but that you will be able to find us living in a holy place. God, we thank you. We honor you. We ask you to cause this word to be covered in your glory, God, in the name of Jesus, that somebody will get some answers, God, as they listen to this tonight. God, we thank you. We honor you. We give you all glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessings on you all. And again, thank you for joining us tonight. And we will be back next week for another hot topic. Blessings. And again, thanks for joining.
Come on. Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good because it ain't over. Right before I die, I gotta
live out my dreams so I can be present for me, not just for me, but so they can see much more of him and less of me.
Right before I die, I gotta
love my enemies.
Get up and live!